You're listening to For the Love of Podcast, Season 2, Episode 2. I'm your host, Tyler Robertson. This month's episode is called Podcasting Ourselves to Sleep. This is Side A. There's also a Side B being released today, and that's because this month I had the pleasure of interviewing Drew Ackerman, better known on the internet as his alter ego, Dearest Scooter. Dearest Scooter is the voice of Sleep With Me, a podcast designed to help you sleep by telling stories geared towards creating a safe space, distracting you from worries, and lulling you right to sleep. On Side A of this episode, I interview Drew about Dearest Scooter and the Sleep With Me podcast, and then on Side B, Dearest Scooter interviews me about me, which is weird, but maybe you'll enjoy it. I hope so. The Sleep With Me podcast can be found at sleepwithmepodcast.com or on Twitter at Dearest Scooter. Drew was a lot of fun to interview. He had actually never interviewed anyone before, and it's really fun to hear him interview in his Dearest Scooter character, which we talk about a little bit later on in this episode. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Here's my interview with Drew Ackerman. Welcome to the show. I'm super stoked to have you. If for the listeners at home who haven't heard of the Sleep With Me podcast, could you maybe just start by introducing yourself and the show that you work on?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I'm Drew, and I go by Dearest Scooter, and I have the Sleep With Me podcast, which is a podcast that's made to put you to sleep. And the way I do it is I kind of tell boring stories or lulling stories or soothing stories. It's more geared towards adults to kind of just help people ease into sleep and distract, you know, whatever's running through their brain at the time that's keeping them from being able to fall asleep.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I wanted to start by apologizing for a potential faux pas that I made when I was emailing you, because I had looked at your website and I saw this podcast is performed by Dearest Scooter and written by Drew. And I was like, okay, is it two different guys? So I addressed my email to Scooter, and then you reply as Drew. And I was like, oh, wait a second. So where did that pseudonym come from of Dearest Scooter?
I wish I had like a good concise answer. But what happened was I'd had a blog a while back with a character named Dearest Scooter, which was nothing like this podcast at all. And I already had a Twitter account, and then I was kicking around the idea of starting this podcast, but I was really feeling like this idea is weird. And I was like, boring people to sleep or telling stories, it just kind of seems silly and embarrassing. And I was like, and I knew that criticism was kind of like going to ruin the podcast. I was like, I'll never get it started if I'm worried about being critical of myself. And then I was like, I don't really want anybody. I was also like, I pitched the idea to a couple people and they just gave me like blank stares. And it kind of like took the wind out of my sails. I'm like, wow, I guess this idea is not very good. And then I was like, well, I want to try it out. I want to see how it goes. And so I guess the pseudonym just kind of played into, I guess, my insecurity about it, but also my like realizing that if I was going to be critical or not open to experimenting, like I wasn't going to follow through on it. And then I actually wasn't sure I was going to follow through on the podcast. So then people started emailing me. They're like, hey, Scooter, like, blah, you know, talking to me. And then I'm like, oh boy, did I set myself up for some sort of awkward situation? But the podcast is kind of so playful. And to be honest, like, I do have to get into some sort of character. I think like anybody that's doing any kind of audio or, you know, vision, you know, any kind of performance, it's almost like a better version of myself, Scooter. So it does help to have the pseudonym too, to be like, to step out of myself and, you know, and to get into a zone of being present to lull and bore people to sleep, I guess.
Sure. And, you know, and I often wonder, especially with all the superhero movies that are coming out recently, I wonder a lot about the concept of having another identity, a better version of yourself, like you said, that you can sort of step into for whatever purpose. Do you feel like Dearest Scooter is kind of is he like the Batman to your Bruce Wayne? Do you feel like this is do you like this version better in some cases?
I don't know if better, but it definitely is the most positive version of myself and the most optimistic version of myself. And it also plays into like, what am I trying to accomplish with my podcast? And am I really backing up? Like if I was like myself, my critical thoughts about even a movie I saw, like, I don't know if they have a place in a podcast that's supposed to soothe people to sleep. If I'm in a negative mood, or even if I have a negative, I guess there is some of my feelings about the world at large and stuff seeps into the podcast, but it has to be, it usually has to have some sort of positive spin. So I guess like, the pseudonym is maybe not, I don't think it's on a Batman level, but it definitely takes like the better parts of my personality and leaves kind of the tired part of me behind, or the part of me that's more nervous. I'm definitely more confident when I'm performing as doing the podcast and more playful. I'm a pretty humorous person. I joke around a lot, but I'm definitely more willing to experiment on stuff that might not work out when I'm performing the podcast.
Sure. So I'm trying to figure out, I'm really fascinated by this idea of like being a performance artist. Cause I mean, you know, like I'm doing right now, I don't always talk in a radio voice. I don't always feel like I have to have that podcast presence, but when I'm doing the podcast, you know, you step up and you give it that extra oomph. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people do that for their shows. Ira Glass is always called Ira Glass, but when he's doing the radio show, he's a very different Ira Glass than when he's doing real life. So putting a different name to it, to this person that you are when you're performing, is very, I don't know. It's interesting. It's different. I think a lot about, Kiss when they perform too, or performed, you know, they're very different offstage physically and, you know, makeup wise and name wise, and I forget where I'm going with all of this. But anyway, you're the first person that I've interviewed that has a pseudonym for when they're podcasting. So I guess I'm just trying to unpack what that looks like.
No, I hear what you're saying. I mean, and now like the genesis of like Gene Simmons, it's like, oh man, like I guess I prefer him with the makeup. I mean,
right.
It's like, but I don't know. It's weird because I guess I wouldn't have, if I did it again, I was like, well, would I use a pseudonym or wouldn't I? But it definitely frees you to just, I guess, like, leave some of your reservations behind and just, and like you're saying, like, just because you're doing an interview podcast as Tyler, it's definitely like, it could start going bad, or I could start saying nasty things about, you know, something, and you have to be like, you could take exception to it, but at the same time, it's like, you're like, oh, well, okay, well tell me, let's change gears here.
Right.
Where it's like, if you're in a normal conversation with somebody, like if you're with your girlfriend, you can't be like, oh, well, let's change gears. I think we should move on from this conversation about the rugs and change gears onto, you know, it's like, it's not suited towards normal day-to-day conversation. And that's the thing about having a podcast that's kind of be lulling or boring. It's like, or an interview podcast that's interesting is like, you want to hear about stuff that you can connect with, or hear about stuff that's unfamiliar but relatable. You don't want to hear it like, oh, you know, before I got, I was, you know, eating lunch and then I was doing this. It's like, so yeah, but the whole thing about podcasting when you're doing it, it's like you've learned so many intangible things, or you start to look at stuff different than you did before. Cause, I mean, I didn't have a radio background or a performance background. So it's like, huh, things take on a whole different angle, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. What is your background, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh boy. I went to school for communications, but then, after school I did some volunteering for a year teaching. Then, I kind of just, you know, was trying to figure stuff out. I ended up, starting a business for a while, like selling, furniture and mattresses on the internet. which now kind of comes full circle. That I, but it was like sales, and it was I did not enjoy it at all. And then I was kind of again like, I stopped doing that, and I was kind of lost again. I guess I was kind of I had a job for, I don't even know, a couple of years. My job was selling fuzzy dice and iron-on patches to stores.
Nice.
Which was, yeah, it was an interesting job, but it wasn't a career choice, I guess, but it was with a business, a couple of people I knew. So I did that for a while. Then I was an insect trapper. That was the official job title I had, because in California we have these invasive insects.
Sure.
In the state, it was probably the best job I had, but again, it wasn't like I would just drive around for 10 hours a day checking insect traps. It was unbelievably interesting, and it was outside job driving. I don't have a biology background, so it was cool to learn all that. And then I got into working for libraries. But meanwhile, the whole time on the side, I was kind of like, wanting to do creative stuff or writing a little bit here or there. And then at some point I was like, man, am I just going to be someone that's like, you know, thinking about following through on writing or thinking about following through on being creative? And at some point I was like, okay, I really need to not so much get serious about stuff, but get consistent if I wanted to do creative things. And that took a while to gain any momentum. And then, but out of that momentum, over a long period of time, the podcast kind of evolved out of that, I guess.
So is the podcast your day gig now, or do you have something else going on?
Yeah, no, I still work for a library system. I do a couple different, run a couple different smaller libraries, like just as a librarian.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I just do the podcast on the side.
Awesome. Awesome. Do you feel like your work in libraries helps with the stuff that you talk about in the podcast?
I feel like both are related, and as far as like being open to your curiosity, or with the library to other people's curiosity, and definitely listening. I don't think I'm the best listener. It's still a skill I'm trying to learn. But, you know, with libraries, it's almost like you're working in a store, but you don't have to sell people any crap. So, yeah. So it's like you actually get to do customer service that's enjoyable. People are like, oh, you know, I'm trying to do research about this, or I'm interested in this. And it's like, okay, let me try to help you figure that out. Or I'm into this type of fiction. Can you help me find something? So it's, I guess it's similar to the podcast in the sense it's like, I got to, listen and then kind of respond without, you definitely have to reserve judgment in a library, because it's sure. Like your job is to help the customer and not, you know, put your own spin on it and be like, oh, that's terrible, that book. Jeez. I'm hoping eventually to flip, like to be able to work doing some of the projects I'm doing in a library as my hobby and do the podcast, like more full time, but I'm not sure that'd be an eventual goal that I'm striving for. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an awesome goal, to be sure. I wish I could do that at the moment, but I can't. Tell me a little bit about how you came up with the idea of the Sleep With Me podcast. You've alluded to it a little bit already, but I'm curious about the trajectory that got you here.
So the idea was like, it'd been something I've been thinking about for years. I've listened to podcasts for a long time. I mean, I've always loved, even in, you know, Ricky Gervais was like the first big podcast that I was like, oh my God, this is so, so awesome to be able to listen to these people just riff, but even smaller genre podcasts. But before that, like, I come from a family of six, so I'm the oldest, and I shared a room with my brother. And I can remember nights when we were in like grammar school and we'd be sitting there and we'd be like, we can't sleep either because we're excited about something that's going on the next day, or we're, you know, upset about something. And I'd be like, I came up with this game. I'm like, let's take turns telling boring stories to each other, kind of pointless stories. And he doesn't remember it. Now that I talk to him as an adult, he's like, I don't remember that. I'm like, yeah, probably because you fell asleep. So that was one part of the podcast. And then the other part was like around that same time, at some point, like fifth or sixth grade, I hit this patch where I just couldn't sleep as a kid. And I remember like people wanting to help me, but it was like the kind of thing where I got in bed and it was like a living nightmare. Like I was like, I'm not going to be able to fall asleep. And it's not like in adults, my parents or whatever, like, well, it's your imagination or you got to calm down. And I remember just feeling like very isolated and not understood and kind of hopeless, because it was like, here's all these adults that they seem like they have good intentions, but they can't help me. There's nothing I've been able to figure out to help me. And it was really a desperate place. But the one thing was I had the worst, insomnia was the worst on Sunday nights. And there was this radio show on Sunday nights called Dr. Demento. And it's where like Weird Al Yankovic would go on and play his songs and stuff. And I remember just being able to listen to that show and all my like nervousness about the next day or not being able to fall asleep would like fall away. And it was just like this instant relief. And sometimes I would fall asleep listening to it. Sometimes I wouldn't. But it was just like this, it was just such a soothing thing to know that it was going to be there for me. So those are the kind of like foundations of the podcast. What got me to start it was I was working on another creative project with some other people, and it actually totally imploded. I was writing like a web comedy with a couple other guys, and we just ended up hitting like a creative impasse that we couldn't resolve. And I remember I was like, man, we put like a couple of years into it. And it was at first I was like, this really sucks. But then I was like, well, I had finally like cut out all this time in my schedule to write for that and rewrite for that. And I was like, and I have it open now. I'm like, am I just going to, because this didn't work out, like, am I just going to go back to like filling that up with whatever? And then I'm like, what? I remember this podcast idea you had. Why don't we just start it and see how it goes? And so it just worked out great because I had that open schedule, and I guess I had a motivation just because, a motivation from the far past, but then the present that this one creative project didn't work out. I'm like, well, let me just go right into this new project and kind of just see how it goes. And that's kind of been how I've been doing it from when I started it.
Wow. How long have you been doing it now?
I started recording in October 2013, so okay, about a little over a year.
Okay. And you kind of implied that there was a point where you weren't sure if you were going to continue doing it. What was that like? What was that wall that you hit?
Well, it was more, I don't know if anybody that's listening, I mean, I know you do a podcast. It can be really confusing, I think. For I know this is a loaded word and I don't mean to use it in a loaded way, but like amateur podcasters or people without experience, because it's like,
right,
oh, what goal do you set for yourself? Like there's people making a lot of money podcasting, or there's famous people podcasting that are having a lot of success, or they're, and it's like the spread of numbers for downloads is so huge. It's like, again, I'm a really self-critical person. So I was like, man, how am I going to make sure I follow through on this? So I really, instead of like thinking about how many people are listening or even at the beginning, like feedback or anything, I was like, I had heard this stat that most people quit after between episode one and episode two, between episode two and episode eight, between episode 8 and episode 23, and between 23 and 50 are like the statistical points where podcasts just cease to be produced. So I kind of like set those. I was like, okay, can I get two episodes done? Can I do 8 episodes? So it was more like, and at the same time, I was like, okay, if I get to 8, I'll just like take a breath and be like, do I want to keep doing this? And when I get to 23, like I'll take I'll say, do I want to keep doing this? So I've kind of had, instead of like getting burned out or being like, is this working or not? It's like I kind of built into some breaks where I was like, okay, this is where I'm going to decide. I guess to reframe it is like, when am I going to quit? And those were the points where it's like, okay, if I'm going to quit, it's not going to be till 23. And then if I want to quit, I'll quit then. Okay, I'm going to keep going. So now I'm going to keep going to 50. If I want to quit at 50, I'll quit at 50. And then now I'm at, over 200 episodes. I think the next decision-making date I set is like farther in the future at 2 years. I'm like, okay, at 2 years, we'll make another decision. But I guess in some sense, I'm like, well, I can't really trust my short-term judgment, like to be in the moment and be like, oh, this isn't going how I want to, because I have had stuff I haven't followed through on or that hasn't worked out. It's like, it seems like a much easier and less loaded way to decide, like either on a date or an episode number, instead of being like, oh, well, if I don't have this many people listening, then I'm going to quit. It's like, that's definitely a lot of that's out of your control. If I've got this many episodes done, and actually was motivated for me. I'm like, oh, if a lot of people quit at 8, I'm going to go to 9 then, because, I don't know. I did feel a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
And people should, other podcasters should. It's like, people should give themselves more credit. If you start a podcast and you're following through on it, even if you do it twice, I mean, that's overcoming a lot of, kind of societal programming that you shouldn't put yourself out there. You shouldn't take risks, or if you're going to take risks, it should be a guaranteed that you're going to have fame or money or some benefit. And it's like, well, I applaud everybody. It's like, from what I understand, it's like, for the love of podcasts, you're doing a podcast about podcasts. It's like that. That's what makes podcasting great to me. And as a listener and as someone that's doing it, is there's so much room for everybody to try stuff out and see how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I really like that idea of setting those breakpoint goals for yourself. When I first started making this podcast, and people who've listened to the earlier episodes will know, I was asking people a lot about, like, how do you make a podcast? How do you post it every week? What do you recommend for beginners? And largely, I was asking that because I was a beginner myself. You know, I decided I was going to make a podcast, and then 2 weeks later, I'm interviewing one of my favorite podcasters of all time, Jeff Rubin, and was posting it pretty much that day. Like, I don't think I did barely any editing to that episode, and it was horrible. But for easily 5 weeks in a row, people were saying, oh yeah, you have to record, you know, 10 episodes and not release them. And then after those 10 episodes, see how you feel and then start releasing things. And I'm thinking, shit, I have 3 episodes that I've already released now, and I'm going to release this one on Thursday. Now I don't know. Should I quit now? Should I start over? What do I do? But that idea of like, and I'm kind of trying to do the same thing with my show. I just didn't have quite the same words for it. You know, you set a number of episodes, for instance, and you say, all right, if I can make it this far, and then if I want to quit, I'm not going to feel bad about myself. I'm not going to blame myself for not having fun anymore if I'm not having fun by, you know, episode 23 or whatever.
Right. Yeah. It keeps your critic at bay, because otherwise, I mean, for at least myself, I don't know, for you, it's like your internal critic is constantly going to be harping at you to make a decision. So it's like, okay, yeah, don't worry. At this episode, we'll make a decision, man. If you want to, you can put all your critical input in at that point. If we think we should quit, we'll quit then. But before that, I'm just going to try to do this and see how it goes.
Definitely. Definitely. Do you find yourself ever like subconsciously comparing yourself to other podcasts?
I guess, it's an interesting question, because something's come up in the last like 2 months, not so much comparing, but I think like, I don't know. One thing I love about podcasts or art in general is like when you see people that are doing something that you're just not capable of doing, like, I think Game of Thrones is an example, but I'm trying to think, like, Night Vale might be a podcasting example. It's like,
right,
that podcast is their creation. It's this wonderful thing that is amazing that people are capable of doing something that wonderful and different. And I don't think I could never set out to do that and do the same thing. I mean, maybe an homage to it or whatever, but it's like amazing to see that. And then I don't know, like I listen to a lot of podcasts, but there's so many to listen to. And I know, like, as I've been trying to figure out, like, well, what is, you know, trying to redefine success now for myself and be like, wow, could I do this ever as a job? I know that one name that comes up is Tom Merritt, who I wasn't familiar with, but I saw he was like doing really well raising money for his podcast on Patreon. And he was like a really seemed like a beloved podcaster. And I was like, huh, I never listened to any of his shows. And so I started listening to his show called Cord Killers. Hmm. And it's just a show about cutting the cord and watching your media without having a cable subscription. And as soon as I started listening, I was like, wow, now I understand why this guy is so popular and so well-liked. And again, it goes back to that better self model. He just has this personality that is very... he's informed, he's on top of things, he controls the conversation, but he also puts you at ease. You feel like, oh, this guy, I could be friends with this guy. I like what he's saying. So I guess, like, I don't know if it's comparing right now, but it's like appreciating. I'm like, and then I'm like, oh, I don't know if I could do the same thing he's doing, but it's like, okay, like, there's more that he's providing than just information about cutting the cord or just about saving money on your cable bill. It's like, okay, this is entertaining. It's informative. But then there's also this intangible thing going on in the background that I think works. And I don't even know what it is yet, but it's just interesting to be like, okay, instead of being envious, it's like, oh, I don't quite, I can see why people really like this person and enjoy his podcast. And actually, I really like that podcast now too.
Nice. And your podcast, I mean, you say at the front of every episode that it's about creating a safe place to sort of help people relax and not think about things and get to sleep. And, you know, you're kind of creating a one-way relationship with them a little bit. And it's interesting to me too, that you say that right off the bat. And I mean, you definitely, I'm gonna tell you right now, you have the voice that can definitely help people relax. I mean, you just seem like that kind of personality. But it seems funny to me that you are intentionally trying to be boring. Now, I'm unintentionally boring, and I'm fine with that. I've had to come to terms with that. It's cool to see someone who started a podcast, you know, especially late 2013, you said, and now through this whole quote unquote podcast renaissance that's happened over the last year, you continue to make something, but you call it intentionally boring. And that's not something that I've seen a lot of people over the age of 16 saying about themselves. It just doesn't seem like a thing that an adult would aspire to be, you know, yeah. Boring. Why did you decide on that wording? Why do you want to be boring?
Well, I think like the boring is just like a very universal, like it gets right to the point in some sense. So it's like some listeners, especially like people that have been listening for a long time, will get upset with me and they'll be like, you're not boring, or that's not, you know. And I'm like, well, I guess to some people I am. And kind of like what you're saying is like, I'm sure it's like a large part of it is just my own personality. And like, I think like, yeah, I'm like, man, I really am a boring person. That's what this podcast has proven. But it's like, again, to go back to the beauty of podcasting, it's like about embracing that and exploring it. Like, so it's like, okay, that is what works about my podcast, is saying, what is being boring? Like, what is being meandering? Like, can I watch Game of Thrones and then talk about Game of Thrones and then be like, oh, I'm curious about this. And then start talking about it and be like, and then I get distracted and then I'm like, oh wait, that reminds me of this scene from Goonies. And then it's like, oh wait, that reminds me of this. why does, you know, who makes that product? And then, you know, researching that, it's kind of like, I don't know, I guess it's playful. It's like, and it gives, in some sense, it's like I'm exploring stuff and trying to get to the bottom of my curiosity, but the listener can listen to that and be engaged. But it's like, at the same time, I'm like, well, I don't know, like you're saying, it's like, I'm kind of a, my curiosity can be pretty dull. So don't worry if you fall asleep. It's not going to hurt my feelings. And I mean, a lot of the feedback I get from people that hear about the podcast is like, oh, you know, I was already using podcasts to fall asleep and I felt guilty about it. So there's this whole level of relief that I don't have to feel guilty about falling. Like, you know, if I Ira Glass is not boring. So if I fall asleep listening to Ira Glass, I feel bad about it. But you? No, I don't feel bad about that. So it's like a strange compact to enter into, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And I really haven't seen anyone else doing it. And I think largely because, I mean, like you yourself are talking about making this a full-time job where you're creating a podcast, something that people listen to. You don't instantly, in most cases, jump to thinking, I know, I'll make something that people might not listen to. People will just fall asleep. It's really cool and interesting, I think. And maybe that's where I'm getting caught up, is I'm fascinated by this idea that your whole job in this podcast is to help people fall asleep, is to help people stop listening to you. That just seems so counter to what I've been trying to do with my podcast, where I want to share information with people. I don't want people to fall asleep because I think that there are interesting things here. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like you're going the opposite direction of most other people?
It's definitely not the best idea. I would not recommend it.
No, I like it. I like it.
No, I mean, from like a business standpoint, but it's like, yeah, no, I think it's like, let's see. It's like, yeah, it's really hard to set out to be interesting, I think, is one thing. But what I'm learning is it's equally hard to set out being boring, pretty much because you have to, like, part of what I'm finding out as I've been doing the podcast and as I've heard from people is like, you really are doing some trust building and saying, okay, I'm going to try to do this podcast. I'm going to try to put you to sleep. And then if people give me feedback and they're like, well, you know, you said this and it creeped me out, or there was this tonal change at 56 minutes. It's like, I try to take it serious and be like, okay. But I think there's like a deeper, I guess the reason the podcast works and the reason I follow through it is going back to that childhood memory. It's like, I think there is a sense, that, I mean, I think it's a human thing that people feel a little bit isolated or a little bit alone. And when you can't sleep, that gets amplified. And especially people that overthink, it's like, I mean, I think we're desperate for connection in a lot of different places. I mean, I know I am, and I know like that's something I crave in the podcasts I listen to and I get out of them. So it's like, I'm offering with my podcast, or one of the things I strive to do is like, I'm going to be there for you. And yeah, you can fall asleep whenever you want, but the podcast is going to be there. I'm going to be doing my best. And that's, you know, might not be perfect or whatever, but I'm going to be doing my best to be there for you, to help you fall asleep. And I think that's the extra element there is like, it's like there's a playful element. It's like, yeah, this is going to bore you off. And it has to be, because you have to put people at ease.
Right.
But there's also this deeper thing that it's like, I have experienced it. And most people have. I mean, everyone's had something that's come up and you're like, geez, I'm really worried about tomorrow. I'm not going to be able to get some sleep, or I'm really pissed off about what happened today. And I can't stop thinking about it.
Right. Totally.
So it's like, and again, it's like, in any other medium, I don't think it would offer the opportunity to try to do it and see what happens, because my podcast is, I do it in an affordable way, so it doesn't cost me a ton of money to do it, and I'm able to distribute it to as many people that want to listen. without anybody saying, oh man, there's, you know, this podcast isn't performing the way we want it to, or could you tweak this because we need people to listen till, you know, the 28th minute or whatever. It's like, there's really, or like you, it's like, okay, I'm interested in podcasts and people that podcast and just finding out more and trying this out. Like, it's like, I don't know if there's been a medium that hasn't required such a capital investment as far as the production or the distribution.
Right.
And it really affords a great opportunity to test out ideas. And on the other side, from the corporation standpoint or the business side, it really, it offers them an opportunity. I mean, now, like you're saying with the podcast boom, they're like, oh, we got to get into this, or Slate just started a podcast network. And I think that's great. I mean, I wonder what, like I think, I hope there's room for everybody. But I think there is, just because, you know, as long as people keep exploring their interests, there's going to be other people that are like, oh, wait, I'm interested in collecting, you know, USB drive caps. I'm like, one. You know, there's 40 other people on Earth that like that. Great. Let's start a podcast about it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's more boring. That shows my boring. I mean, that would be something I would talk about on the show probably, but.
You know. No, you're completely right. And I like that idea. And that's something that I've had to think about a lot with this show. You know, it sometimes feels like I can only talk so much about podcasts. But then I realize, oh, wait, I get to talk about podcasts, and there are people who don't have to pay anything to listen to me. And I'm not accountable to any, like you said, some organization that's going to say, oh, you have to do this, this, and this. So I can do whatever the hell I want. You know, I can play around with it. I can do episodes once a month or once a week or once a day if I was really adventurous. But yeah, it's an interesting thing. And you know, I hope you're right too. I hope there's room for everyone as things grow.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be interesting. It's going to be interesting to find out. And it's like, but again, it's like, to have more wonderful long form content to listen to as a listener, it's like, okay, I'm interested to see. It is crazy that there's so much good stuff out there that it's like, oh, have you heard about, like, somebody was talking about Memory Palace, and I was like, man, I have not listened to that. And then somebody else was like, oh, I love that. And it's like, there's so many good podcasts, but it's like, I think every podcast can find a niche. I mean, I don't know how to, but it's like, you could, you know, you don't have to make money podcasting. I mean, and the other thing is, for people that are thinking about starting their podcasts, one thing I've learned is that from podcasting is that you get so much. I mean, you get to connect with great people. You get to come on podcasts and meet other people you wouldn't normally meet. But you also, like, you do learn a lot of intangible skills that I don't know otherwise you'd get a chance to learn. And I don't know if those will benefit me down the road or not, but it's like, there's all these extra things you can get out of it other than money or I don't know. I guess it goes back to, how do you define success too?
Right. Right. Well, and something I wanted to ask you about too, you know, you were talking about how you have listeners giving you feedback about your podcast and how you do or do not help them fall asleep. Have you learned anything surprising about people's relationship with sleep since you started doing the show?
Yeah. I mean, I learned there's a lot of people that have trouble sleeping. I'm lucky. I have to have the relationship I do with the listeners. Because it's like this relationship where they feel free to tell me their stories about, why they can't sleep, or, you know, or good stories, or just about themselves. But it kind of feels like this, I don't know. I'm like, man, I can't believe I'm helping people fall asleep, even though I do a podcast to help people fall asleep. I didn't think it would actually, I was like, let me try this out and see if it works. And it does. And then I've been able to kind of develop it and tweak it to be like, okay, this works and this doesn't work. But yeah, it's just interesting to see, like, and to hear people from around the world be like, oh, wait, people in all these other countries are suffering from the same thing. And or to hear people that don't speak English. There was just this, someone sent me this blog article in France that somebody wrote about the podcast. And they're basically like, yeah, you don't need to understand what he's saying. You just listen. Like, if you don't speak English, it might work better. Huh. So it's like, I'm like, okay, that's great. Like, but yeah, it just seems like, I don't know. It seems like the people are really sleep deprived, and it's unfortunate because it's like, as much as people talk about, oh, you should get 8 hours of sleep or whatever, as soon as they get done saying that, they're like, there's so many other things that are competing for our attention and our time. And it just seems like, even though it's overly said, it's like people are kind of underpaid and overstressed, and they don't get enough sleep. But I mean, I guess I'm doing my best to try to help resolve that, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Do you feel like, you know, I know for every person, there's going to be a different result from listening to your podcast, obviously, because different people have different needs. Do you feel like you've seen progress in some of your listeners? I don't know how to define progress exactly in this field. I'm not a sleep expert by any means, but I mean, obviously you've helped people. Do you know of anyone in particular who's sort of come out of their insomnia?
Well, I guess like if you do have sleep problems, it's more about just developing like a healthy routine. From what I've learned about it from doing the podcast, and I do hear from a lot of listeners, and this goes back to like what makes a successful podcast, or how's my podcast going to be successful? Because the listeners I hear from regularly, they're like, oh, wait, they just keep getting the time they listen to the podcast lower and lower. So they'll email me and they'll be like, I'm down to 2 minutes. I can listen to you for 2 minutes and I'll be sound asleep. So I guess it creates like a little bit of if I was going to have sponsors, I'd be like, yeah, I'll sell you a sponsorship. First 15 seconds is the only place I could fit you. But, it's like people, I guess like people, a lot of people say like that it gets to this Pavlovian point where they start hearing my voice. They start hearing me. Like I try to, again, it goes back to like the advice you get about podcasting. I see tons of people, and I think it's for each individual podcast, it has to be different. Is like it's all one gray area, but it's like, oh, you can't have long intros or that's going to make people tune out. My intros are like wicked long, wicked boring. And but it's part of a familiarity. So people that listen to the podcast, it's like, okay, he's going to talk about this in the intro. Then he's going to make some strange metaphor about what he's doing. Then he's going to thank people, and then the bulk of the podcast is going to start. And that kind of goes along with different people's success. They're like, oh, I don't even make it to the thank yous anymore. I'm sound asleep. So it's fun. And it's just at this point, it's like inside. I mean, people are like, love to tell me how boring I am. And it's like I love to say thank you so much. And then the other thing that people have started doing is in iTunes reviews, I'm terrible at pronunciations, and I'll be reading the iTunes. So people have started putting dirty names in the iTunes reviews, but in like language that's hard to read until it's too late. So it's like being in a Simpsons episode where I'm reading about, just terrible words, and I don't even know it until I'm like, wait a second. Oh, and then I'm like, but then it goes, I'm like, thank you so much for embarrassing me. That's great. You really got me. So it's like, I think about it whenever I think about it, I'm like, man, what a lucky position I am to be in. Like, even though I don't know, I mean, I spent a lot of time working on this podcast and I don't want to get burned out and stop doing it. So it's like, I'm like still trying to figure out a balance between my work life and doing the podcast. But it's like, I'm just so lucky to be in this position where it's like, wow, I tried this out. It's helping people. They're responding to it. And also I have this huge playground, like, because I'm able to tell these stories without any worry of criticism. I mean, there are trolls everywhere, but
yeah,
like without any worry of my self-criticism, and I've been able to see like strange stories unfold, like that I would have never, if I was sitting down and trying to write a good story, it would never turn out that way because of the freedom I have, because I'm trying to be somewhat pointless and somewhat boring and go on asides and tangents and stuff like that. So it's like, it's really like, it's just amazing. I mean, it's just amazing to be able to just play around and then have people actually listen to it and then be like, well, I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I don't know. It kind of, it's like, it's a weird deal, I guess, we got going.
Yeah. And I mean, not listening to the whole thing is kind of the point, it sounds like.
Yeah. Well, I have two goals. So sure. It's to bore people to sleep or help people fall asleep. But if not, I like to keep the stories just interesting enough. I call it the Dr. Demento test, because to go back to when I was a kid and I couldn't sleep and I would listen to that radio show. And why it's like, I make the stories kind of boring and pointless, but they always are complete. Right. And they always have somewhat, they're mildly interesting, so that if someone is like in an absolute place where they're not going to sleep, like maybe I could say something to relax them or make them laugh, or where they just don't feel like, you know, totally alone. I don't know, or maybe just amuse them for a little while. It's just kind of like the experience I had where it was like, I really appreciated that, because it was like, oh, I didn't think about the next day going to school and all that stuff because this radio show was distracting me.
Right. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. So for people who have listened to this podcast and they've heard us talk now about your show, where do you recommend that they start if they want to start listening to your show tonight?
I would guess, I'll just give you the heads up. This, if you've been listening to this interview, it's a strange podcast. Like, you can pretty much start at any point. I mean, I've heard from people recently that are completists and they start at the beginning. And I definitely have grown a lot since the beginning. So if you want to listen, all my episodes are up. I'm not super embarrassed about the early episodes, but I was definitely learning to be comfortable behind the mic and learning to be comfortable telling a story. But if you start it, there's like Game of Thrones episodes come out every Sunday. So if you like Game of Thrones, that, like, those are a good place to start. And you could pretty much start anywhere. And then on Tuesdays, I usually have like a random episode. A lot of times I make up stories based on like what's trending on Twitter or what's on the front page of Reddit. And I'll just go through and make up a story based on what I'm seeing there. And then on Thursday nights, I just have like an ongoing story for usually like a couple months. So right now it's like a Cinderella style story, but you don't have to hear the first episode, because I mean, I usually do a little bit of catch up before every episode. And again, the episodes are supposed to be mildly entertaining, but it's not like where there's like this giant cliffhanger. Even if there's cliffhangers, it's like a 1 foot drop off the cliff. So it's like, if you want to start at the beginning, you can, but otherwise just start wherever. And I hear from a lot of skeptics. So I think like listen to one or like two or three episodes. If you don't like it, it's not your sense of humor, or you're like, this dude is, I can't sleep listening to this guy. That's fine. But a lot of people come into the podcast skeptical, like either someone recommended it or they saw it on iTunes. And they're like, this just sounds like another scam. Who's this guy? Like, or like, what's the angle here? And then they're like, oh, wait a second. This is just, it's just what it is. It is what it is. And so that's my favorite person to hear from, is someone that was skeptical. They're like, this is never going to put me to sleep, or this guy, I don't believe him. And then they come around. It's really rewarding.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say for myself, I was a little skeptical. Chris Postel originally recommended you to me, And I was, you know, looking at the description and was thinking, okay, so it's kind of like the guided meditation or hypnosis. And I'm one of those people, I've always kind of had like a weird phobia about hypnosis. I don't know what it is about hypnosis. I'm not down with that jive. No, I mean, giving it a listen, it's just you talking and being friendly and being genuine and being, I'll say it, a little boring.
Yeah.
But I think it's great.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people frame it like a lot of listeners like that some strange neighbor or friend has come over to their house and is just sitting there chatting to them. But I'm the completely boring friend you invite over. And then you're like, do you mind if I close my eyes while you talk? but I'm like, yeah, sure. Go ahead. I'm just going to keep talking. If you fall asleep, that's fine. I'll let myself out. I'll lock the door. Don't worry. I'm not going to stare at you while you sleep or anything weird. I'm just going to sit here and drink my tea and chat about nothing.
Right.
So yeah, it's a weird idea. It's different. And the thing goes on the other side. It's not for everybody. Like some people like guided meditations, or some people like ASMR videos, or some people like just white noise. But this is for those people that those don't work for. It goes in the spirit of a bedtime story, like telling a kid a bedtime story and saying, well, maybe adults need a bedtime story too. It's just got to be a little bit stranger. But I can recommend, if my podcast doesn't work for you, I've been listening to The Big Read of Moby Dick, and it's awesome. It has a different narrator every night. And that's what I listen to the last couple weeks to fall asleep. So if the podcast doesn't work, The Big Read with Moby Dick, you should be your next stop.
Awesome. And that was actually going to be my next question. So that's perfect. That takes care of that. Before we're sort of rounding our hour mark now or nearing it, do you see the podcast going anywhere specifically in the next couple of months? You know, do you have any big goals lined up?
I want to launch like a segment about actual like discovering and learning about sleep. Like that would actually be informative, where I talk to sleep experts or, you know, just figure out tips for people falling asleep. It's been something I've been talking about since I started the podcast, and I'm just trying to find the time to do that. So that would be the next. That and I'd like to just do more. Believe it or not, my boring horizons are I'd like to do more boring stuff. I'm trying to find some journalists that would want to put their stuff, like maybe if articles they couldn't sell, or if they could still sell their article and use it on the podcast, of like just to play around and be like, you know, if I'm reading something that's interesting or talking about it, can that be soothing enough to fall asleep to? Or I don't know. I'm always trying to play around with new ideas. And if I had my way, I would do the podcast five nights a week. I don't know if I'd do it for the length I do it every night, but
sure.
Just in case there are hardcore people that can't sleep. I mean, because it's like, I don't know. I guess I'm not good at empathy or compassion in my normal life. I try. But when it comes to podcasts, like we were talking about, it's like you can get into a little bit better space. And I'm like, I always try to put I'm like, okay, what if someone listens to the podcast? I mean, at this point, I have a lot of back episodes, but still, like, it's like if you really can't sleep every night and then you're counting on my podcast to help you sleep, that for me is like some sort of sacred bond. I'm like, geez, like, yeah. I take that seriously. So it's like, man, I wish, I guess, I don't know. Yeah. I'm like, would I be able to do it five nights a week? Would that work? But yeah, I'm a very curious person. So, and that's the spirit I think that makes my podcast work and most other podcasts work, is people following their curiosity. So
definitely.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm stoked to see what you come up with. This is definitely, your show is definitely in my normal rotation now, so I'm very excited to see what happens. That was side A of podcasting ourselves to sleep. For side B, please remove your tape and flip it over, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Special thanks again to Drew Ackerman, and don't forget to listen to side B of the episode, where Dearest Scooter interviews me about sandwiches, fake cheese, technology, and my Dungeons & Dragons character. Dearest Scooter and the Sleep With Me podcast can be found at sleepwithmepodcast.com or on Twitter at Dearest Scooter. For the Love of Podcasts is produced by me, Tyler Robertson. The graphic design for the show is provided by Lauren Lark, whose work can be found at laurenlarkphoto.com. All the music for the show was composed and performed by Christopher Postel, whose podcast, with even more original music, can be found at soundslikeanearful.com. If you're interested in supporting the show, consider becoming our patron on Patreon. That would be super awesome of you. You can find out more at patreon.com/FTLOP. That's like For the Love of Podcasts, just the acronym. Okay, I'll see you next month, you guys. Keep listening to podcasts. Bye.